If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to John's Gospel and the chapter 1. John's Gospel and the chapter 1. And we'll look to the Lord and ask for His help and to be with us around His Word. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee already what has taken place this morning. We thank You for the theme of the service, that Christ was born in Bethlehem. We pray now as we would turn to Thy Word that Thou would speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that Thou would speak even that Word that would bring people from their sin to Christ. Thou bring them from darkness to light. We thank You for that voice, the voice of the Savior, that calls people even unto Himself. We pray You'll give us an understanding heart. And I pray Thou will bless us around Thy Word and help us to listen and help us to proclaim this Word. And may it be a blessing, Lord, to all of us as we consider Christ in this meeting. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is celebrated at this time of the year. Although we do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, traditionally, the 25th of December has been set aside to remember the coming of Christ into this world. If we had to be honest, we have to say in many homes today, there's very little of Christ in their home in the Christmas period. In many homes, His glorious name is not even mentioned. In many homes throughout our province, Christ is not allowed to attend their Christmas feast. In many homes, instead of reverence and worship and praise to the Lord, like we have been singing here this morning about praising God for sending Christ into the world, but in many homes today, Christ is not reverenced at Christmas time in their home. He is not praised. He is not honored. But I'm glad today, seeing we celebrate the birth of Christ, we can ask ourselves a question. Who is Jesus Christ? Because all around the world today, in many countries, in many homes, and in many places, and many different people, they say we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. And I have no doubt if we went round different homes and asked people, could you really tell me who Jesus Christ is? Many people couldn't tell you. Many people wouldn't really know. Many could not answer the question. In Matthew 16, verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the disciples said, some say Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And here the Lord Jesus Christ asked a question. He says, whom do men say that I am? And some says, well, Lord, you're Elias, you're John the Baptist, who's come back from the dead. Who is Jesus Christ? That's a very simple question to ask from the pulpit this morning. Who is Jesus Christ? For our young people, for our children, for you, dear friend, in the congregation, it is important that we know who Jesus Christ really is. At this Christmas period, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. But who is Jesus Christ? And I want to answer from this passage that we have read together. And you see three very plain lessons who Jesus Christ is. First of all, we can see that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Because here is John, and he says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John commences his Gospel here at the very beginning of this Gospel with this lesson, who Jesus Christ is. And he wanted to show his hearers or his readers who Jesus Christ really is. And he tells us here, and the Word was God. And John speaks about the deity of Christ. He says the Word was God. No, friends, he's absolutely sure of this fact. That the one who's born in the manger, that the one who left heaven, that the one who came into this world is God. And remember this, the name that was given to Christ by the prophet. The prophet said in Isaiah 7 verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now the Bible tells us in Matthew 1 verse 23 that Emmanuel means, of being interpreted, is God with us. And so the prophet spoke about the coming of Christ into this world, and Matthew spoke about Christ's birth, and they tell us very, very plainly, along with John, that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Now, the Bible tells us this, that he is the God who came in human flesh. In 1 John 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, that's a very simple truth. That's why we don't agree with the new versions, or one of the reasons, because if you have a new version of the Bible, it actually says that he was manifested in the flesh. But you know what it tells us here? God was manifested in the flesh. That God came here as a man. Now, I remember one time debating with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we got on to these things. I said, I want to ask you a question. Can God do anything? And the man says he can. And I says, now ask me this question. Could God come here as a man? He said he didn't do it. And I says, I didn't ask you, did he do it? I'm asking you, could he do it? Could God come here as a man? He says he could. And I says, that's exactly what he did. God was manifested in the flesh. And dear friends, John here speaks about the deity of Christ. Right from the very commencement here of his gospel, he wanted to show the people who Jesus Christ is. Here's the one who's come from heaven, and I want to say to you, says John the Baptist, Jesus Christ is God. He says, and the Word was God. And there's no doubt about it. When we think of the birth of Christ, of course we think of the human child. But here it tells us, it's God who came in human form. Because he speaks about the deity of Christ. And he spoke to show us that he's God about the eternity of Christ. See, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And you know, dear friends, he takes us away back to the beginning. You cannot go any further back than that. Even in the Greek text here of this particular passage, it's away before the beginning. And John is taking the people away back, away into eternity. And he tells us here, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Christ. I know we celebrate Christ coming into the world as a child. 2010. That's how long it is. That's his human form. He came here as a man. That's his human birth. But I want to say to the boys and girls, and I want to say to the young people and to the congregation, Jesus Christ is eternal. And John knew this. And he says, listen, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Christ. That's what he said. Because he speaks about the eternity of Christ. You see, he's God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 21 verse 33, about Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And God is the everlasting God. And here it tells us, in the beginning was the Word. Christ is eternal, you see. It says in Colossians 1 and verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's before all things. You see, who is Jesus Christ? John has said, well, he's God. Well, John, how is he God? Well, I'll tell you about the deity of Christ. The Word was God. And I'll tell you about the eternity of Christ. Do you see a way in the beginning? Do you see a way in eternity? There he was. You see, dear friends, he is the eternal God. It says he is before all things. And John spoke about Christ as the eternal God. He spoke about the unity of Christ in our passage. Because you notice in verse 1 and in verse 2, he said this statement, and the Word was with God. And it actually means the Word was face to face with God. He's saying here, Christ was face to face with God. He's talking about this unity, the unity of the Godhead. And he is showing us here that Jesus Christ, he dwelt with God because he is God. Now that's a close unity. See in verse 18, this particular chapter, it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of his Father. He had the clear. There's a close unity here between Christ and his Father. There is an eternal unity because the Lord Jesus says in John 17 and verse 5, and thou, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, it talks about the unity, eternal. Before the world was, Christ says, Father, glorify me with that glory that I had with thee before the world ever came into being. You see, dear friends, here we have the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet, the Father and the Son is mentioned. The Word was with God. Christ, it speaks about the unity of God. Think that he who dwelt with his Father in glory, yet he left us to come into this world. Because it says in verse 14, in the world, and the Word was made flesh. The one who dwelt in the bosom of his Father. The one who dwelt in the courts of heaven. The one who dwelt, my friends, with all the cherubims singing, holy, 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 is the Lord God of hosts. And Christ Jesus came into this world. Why? Because he loved us. The one who's God came into this world. We were singing that in our carols this morning. Christ was born in Bethlehem. This Christ came who was God. He came into this world. Oh, the one who had this close unity with his Father, face to face. The Word was with God. But then, dear friends, he left heaven. And he came down into this world to die for our sins. In this, he speaks also about the identity of Christ. He says, the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He refers to Christ as the Word. He's the only writer in the New Testament that refers to Christ as the Word. You'll find it four times in this chapter, and you'll find it again in Revelation 19, where he's speaking about Christ in Revelation 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And Christ is coming, you see, he's referred to as the Word because he's come with a message. He has come to speak to us. He has come to declare the Father. He has come to speak to us the way of salvation. He has come to call sinners unto himself. He has come to call people out from darkness into light. And dear friends, the identity of Christ, the Word, Christ is the Word. He speaks. He's the message. The book of Hebrews, he's the last one that God has sent. I want to say this to you. Have you listened to his message? Boys and girls and young people, have you obeyed his message? Have you obeyed the voice of Christ? He has come to speak. He has come to call. Are you listening? Do you understand his message? Do you obey his message? You see, dear friends, who is Jesus Christ? Well, John says he's a Word. He is God. That's who he is. So I say to everyone, he's a very special person, isn't he? Because God is very special. And Jesus Christ is very special. He's very special to many people in this meeting. He's our Savior, as we'll see in another point. We're not talking to anybody, boys and girls, that's common. We're talking about one who is Lord. We're speaking about one who is King. Jesus Christ is God. That's who he is. How we should worship him. How we should adore him this morning. How we should praise him that he would come into this world in human flesh. But he did come. You see, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is someone else, according to John. Jesus Christ is the Creator. But look what he says in verse 3. Now, he's speaking about this one who was brought into the world, Jesus Christ. He says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, John is very, very clear in this fact. Who is Jesus Christ, John? I wonder if he went up and says to John, could you tell me, who is Jesus? Well, John says, he is God. Well, I'll tell you more than that, he said. He is the creator of the world. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Here, the creating of this whole universe, of the world, is given to Christ. And John is left in no doubt about this, my friend. And he's telling us, Christ made the world. Now, of course, this is true. And there are other verses in the Bible to teach us that Jesus Christ, this babe that was born in Bethlehem, was the one who was God and the one who made the world. You can think of Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. That's another reason why Jesus Christ is God, because it tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet when we come to the New Testament, it tells me that Jesus Christ made the world. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Christ made the world. Christ made the star. He made the sun. He made the moon. He put us upon this earth and the animals. Christ is the creator of the world. That's who he is. And he's very special. He's the one who made us. He's the one who made the world. All things were made by him. Now, if you point out to the Jehovah's Witnesses that Christ made the world in some of these verses that I've said, you know what they'll say to you? He only helped God. He's only one of the workers. But you know how to answer them, because there's a verse that I came across one time in Isaiah 44 and verse 24. And it speaks about the creation of this world in Isaiah 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, or we could say Jehovah, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. He says, I am the Lord that maketh all things. So I am Jehovah that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. And here's what he said, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. You see that? The Lord says, I made the world. I spread out forth the heavens. And he says, listen, I did it. And I did it by myself. So that destroys our argument that Jesus Christ only helped. Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. All things were made by him. That's what John says. He did it by his power. How did he? He just spoke. That's how he did it. In Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He just spoke, let there be light, and there was light. That's how powerful he is. Isn't he wonderful, boys and girls, Jesus Christ this morning? He's the creator of the world. He just spoke. And there the whole world was made. And there the animals was made. There man was made. You see, dear friends, he just spoke the word by his power. And he tells us in verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's nothing made without him. Not a thing, boys and girls. Not even us. We don't come into this world without the intervention of the Lord. He gives life. Not a thing. This destroys the argument of evolution. They said, first of all, there was nothing. There was nothing at all. And then there was this massive bang and everything just fell into place. And we just suddenly appeared in this earth and so on. But no one tells me. He made all things. Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. Someone was speaking about the mathematical odds given by science of DNA forming by itself. They say it is 10 by 40,000. That is the number 1 with 40,000 zeros behind it. Someone has said it's like putting a blue marble in a field of red marbles the size of the solar system. That's a big... But we'll bring it down. We'll put it the size of County Down. And it's all covered in red marbles. And we'll put a blue marble, just one, somewhere in County Down. You don't know where it is. And then we blindfold you. And we ask you to pick out the blue marble. Now, what's your chances? No chance. Yet people believe the lie of evolution. And even scientists have proved themselves. There's 40 or 10 by 40,000 chances of it happening by itself. Yet people say, oh, I believe in evolution. It's all nonsense. I believe in Christ, you see. I believe the Bible, boys and girls and moms and dads. I believe that Christ is the Savior of the world. It tells us here in John says, all things were made by Him. He is the Creator of the world. That's who Jesus is. And He created the world by Himself, for Himself. Because it says in Colossians 1 verse 16, it says, while there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. That's why He made the world. He did all this for Himself. Of course, He put us upon the world. Of course, we can live here, boys and girls, and moms and dads, but listen. He made it for Himself, for His glory. And He upholds the whole universe, the Bible says, by the word of His power. Everything will collapse only for Christ. He's powerful. And He's mighty. He spoke, and the world and all came into being, boys and girls. He made the world for us. And He upholds the world by the word of His power. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, He's the Creator of the world. That's who He is. And so He's very special. He's a very special person. Listen, there's none like Jesus Christ. Do you know anybody better? People, they have their idols. They follow their idols of the world. But listen, there's no one better than the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? John says, He is God. That's who He is. Who is Jesus Christ, John? Well, He's the Creator of the world. That's who He said He is. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Savior. And John brought this out in the passage. He says, in Him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who is Jesus Christ, John? Who is this one who was born in Bethlehem? Who is He? He said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He is the Savior of the world. In Him is life. There's life in Jesus Christ. There's spiritual life in Jesus Christ. There's eternal life found in Jesus Christ. There's no life in this world. There's nothing but darkness. There's nothing but death. But I tell you this, there's life in Jesus. In Him was life. You know what everybody needs in this service? You need life. You need Jesus Christ to be your Savior. In John 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Everything in this world is out to destroy everyone, to bring death and to bring the destruction. But Jesus Christ, He says, I am come that they might have life. And He is the one who gives life. He gives eternal life. See, Jesus Christ is the Savior. In Him was life. And do you know how He can give life? Because He gave His life. He went to the cross and bled and died and suffered that we might be saved. How we have broken the law of God. How we have failed. How man is dead and trespasses and sin. How He needs life. I'm glad there's forgiveness. I'm glad there's mercy. I'm glad there's salvation in Jesus Christ. In Him, says John. It's in Him. He didn't point to any church. Didn't point to any prophet. Didn't point to the temple. Didn't say, well, in the temple you'll find life. He didn't say it. He says there's life in Jesus Christ. You see, He is the Savior of the world.
no one else can save.
Religion, self-righteousness. Many churches today are dead. You know why? There's no Christ in them. The Savior saves sinners and He gives them life. He gives them a new life. And I asked you this morning, do you want new life? I'm asking you, do you want eternal life? Then you must find Christ. You must come to Him, or you'll be punished forever and ever in hell for your sins. He is the Savior of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And He can give you life, and He can save you. He's also light, because He says there as well, the light was the light of men, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, He is the source of light. All light comes from Christ. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. In verse 5, it talks about the shining of the light shining in darkness. And I'm glad in this church there's a light that shines, the gospel of Christ. Preach that you might be saved, that you might come to Christ. We sing that hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light. You see, there's a light shining. Shining in darkness to those who are in darkness and are in their sin. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. John said, there's life and there's light in Christ. And if you're in darkness this morning, Christ can bring you into the light. He can save you from everlasting darkness. He can take away your sin. He can give you everlasting life. The light is shining. You come to Sunday school, the light is shining. You come to church, and the light is shining. You're in your homes, and perhaps the Bible's read in your homes, and the light is shining. What have you done with it? It says in verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. The shedding of the light, the shunning of the light. The shunning of the light. They didn't want the light. It says also there in verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Christ Jesus, this wonderful person, came to Him. The one who is God. The one who is the Creator. The one who is the Savior. Imagine, He came to these people. Notice that. He received them not. Didn't want Him. How terrible. There's nobody like Christ. And He came to these people and they received Him not. But I say to you on Satan in the meeting, is that what you're doing? This person of Christ, there's none like Him. None like Him in the world. He is God. He is the Creator. He is the Savior. There's none like Jesus Christ, but you have not received Him. You shun Him. Maybe you're running from Christ. Maybe you're hiding. You're rejecting Christ. Maybe you say, well, some other day, I'll come to Christ. Some other day, I'll trust Him, my friends. You receive Him not. Do you see how stupid it is for someone to reject the gospel? Because you're rejecting Christ. This one who is God, you're saying, I don't want you. This one who made the world, you are saying, I don't want you in my life. This one who is a Savior, this one where you can have light and life, you're saying, I don't want you. I don't want you. Isn't that a terrible thing? There's no one like Christ, the greatest person ever lived. And yet you say no to Him. Would you not change your heart this morning? I say yes to Christ. Would you not say, I'll come and trust Him? I have rejected Him for years. I have run from Him. I have went the way of the world. I have went the way of sin. I have went the way of the pleasures of this world, and I have turned my back on this wonderful person, Jesus Christ. Would you not repent? Would you not say, Lord, I've wasted many years, but now I'm coming home. That'd be great. get gifts at Christmas, don't we? The greatest gift is Christ and friends, everlasting life. I give unto them eternal life, he says, and they shall never perish. That's what he'll give you. Oh, he knows all about your sin. He knows, dear friends, all about your rejection of him. He knows everything about everybody in this meeting. But if you come to Christ the way you are, he'll save you. He died on the cross for sinners. This one born in a manger went to the cross. And he bled and died. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. He's the creator of the world. And he's the Savior. Timothy, is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? Aye, we can sing about the Savior this time of the year. We can preach about him, and you can listen to messages. But I'll ask you the question, is he your Savior? Can you say today that Jesus Christ, he's mine, he's my Savior? Because you need a Savior. You need a Savior to save you from your sins. And Jesus Christ can save you today. Someone said these words, he began his ministry by being hungry, yet he is the bread of life. Jesus had ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is our king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death, he destroyed the power of death. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. He's creator and he's a savior. This one born in Bethlehem, a unique person, God becoming man to dwell amongst us, to be our savior. Now I've said, everyone, I hope that he's precious to your heart. I hope for those of God's people, maybe some have went astray, you know, restoration, and you'll come to Christ and rejoice in him. And for those who are not saved, that you'll come to the Savior and you'll trust him even today with all your heart, and he will save you. Why would you run away from such a person like Christ? Why would someone turn away from such a person like Christ? Why would they do that? Come to him with all your heart and he will save you even today. May God write his word upon our hearts. We're going to sing another hymn, number 81, a couple of verses. I think it's 81, is it? This thing, I think. 88. Number 88, sorry. Sorry about that. Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? Number 88. And we'll sing verse 1. There's 8 verses in it. We're not singing them all. Verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5. Okay.
Yeah.
6 says, "Who is he on yonder tree dies in grief and agony? It is the Lord, O wondrous story. It is the Lord, the King of Glory." And that hymn sums up what was said in our message, who Jesus Christ really is. And I trust today you'll make him your Lord. People are praying for you, unsaved, that the Lord will touch your heart and bring him to yourself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence, and we thank you for your help. We thank you we've been considering Christ and who he really is. And we pray for those who know thee not as Savior, that, Lord, they will come to thee with all their heart. They may believe that thou art God, and they may believe that thou art the creator of the world, but they have in this personal interest, and thee is their Savior. Save our young boys and girls and young people as well, and give them, Lord, thy free gift of everlasting life. Now we pray the blessing of the Lord to rest and remain and abide upon each and every one of us, and we pray, Lord, you'll take us to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.